ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
First, though, those pro-Palestinian protests in the United States are intensifying at university campuses across the country, leading to mass arrests, cancelled classes and sackings. Police are really cracking down on these growing tent encampments at Ivy League universities, including Columbia and Yale, and other public schools too in California, the Midwest and the South. Students are demanding their universities cut ties with corporations doing business with Israel or profiting off the war in Gaza.
As like a Jew, as a Yale student, as an American, I feel strongly that I do not want the continued killing to happen in my name and with my money. And so as long as I can, I will be here.
That's some of the scenes from going on from Columbia campus. Some universities have now cancelled classes, citing safety concerns for Jewish students, many of whom have said they're being harassed and feel intimidated.
I am grateful to be a student at Columbia, but I am horrified that the same Jew hate that drove my family to the U.S. has become normalized here. We are ostracized, mocked, harassed, assaulted, and scapegoated. Online, Columbia students suggested labeling local shops that support Israel's right to exist, quote, with a Star of David. Is this 1938 or 2024?
That's Columbia student Eden Yedigar addressing a congressional hearing into anti-Semitism on campuses that's been going on in recent weeks. Well, university presidents are now doling out more heavy-handed discipline against students, leading to claims that these demonstrations are being weaponized by conservatives to help advance their agendas against elite liberal universities. Pramila Nadesan is a history professor at Barnard College at Columbia University. Pramila, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
There's now, I think the latest count, around 40 pro-Palestinian campus protests going on across the United States. Last night, 100 students were arrested at Emma College in Boston. This issue is getting louder and louder. It's not quieting down, is it?
It is not quietening down, and this is the largest anti-war movement we have seen in the United States in many, many years. I think the students, the impassioned students who've been organizing around Palestine, have generated protests all around the country, all around the world, in opposition to both U.S. tax dollars that are going to fund the war in Israel, and also the university's investments in companies doing business in Israel.
You're there at Columbia University. That's really the epicenter of these student protests. On campus there, when you see these protests, how do you experience them? How would you describe them?
There are 300 to 400 students who are in the encampment at the moment. They have tents pitched all around the grassy area. They are peaceful protesters. They have a list of rules and guidelines they ask people to follow prior to entering the encampment. They provide food. A couple of days ago, they had a Passover Seder for students who are in the encampment. It is a very peaceful very affirming space to be, where students are able to talk about the issues that really have been silenced across the university since October. Columbia University and Barnard College have both canceled events unilaterally, have made departments take down solidarity statements. And so I think it is precisely the lack of opportunity for people to talk about this very pressing issue in the Middle East that led students to create this encampment.
So that's interesting, your description of it as peaceful protests and affirming space to be. It doesn't match with, well, a little bit of what we heard earlier, some of the scuffles there with police. We now know that police use rubber bullets overnight in another university on students. And as far as an affirming space, we heard there Columbia student Eden Yadigas telling the congressional hearing that some students are feeling unsafe. She says that have been mobbed, harassed, scapegoated. Can you understand that?
Yes, I can. I hear what she said, and I will just say, first of all, that many of the students who are sitting in the encampment are Jewish. Many of the faculty who are here, who are in support of the students who've been speaking out on this issue, are Jewish. I think one of the things that's really important is that we not conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And of course, there are people who are anti-Zionist who are also anti-Semitic, but that is not the general tenor of the protests that are happening at Columbia University right now.
Anti-Zionist as in anti-Jew, basically, yes?
No, not anti. Critical of the state of Israel.
Critical of the state.
Yes, of the policies of the state of Israel, in the same way that one could be critical of the policies of the United States, right? I think the state actions are something that ought to be debated and discussed. So foreign policies are something that ought to be debated and discussed. That is not the same as calling for the elimination of the existence of a state or a country or
a people.
No, of course,
but as we heard there, again, from that student from Columbia University, and she talked about people calling for the Star of David to be put on campuses. I mean, student activism has always been a part of university life, but when you have Jewish students being frightened by statements like that and saying they feel frightened of being assaulted, has activism gone too far?
I think it's important to not conflate a statement that was made by one or two people who may or may not be involved in this movement with the entire movement itself. There are people who are sitting outside the gates of Columbia University who are attempting to provoke and to create conflict and tension. Those are not a part of the, that is not a part of this movement. But I also want to say there are instances of anti-Semitism at Columbia University for sure, as there are instances of Islamophobia and anti-Arab racism. And I think the university has a responsibility to take all of that seriously, to investigate those complaints. That is the job of the university. So I unequivocally believe that the university needs to create a safe space for all students. But what I am saying is that this protest is not generating anti-Semitism. There may be individuals on the perimeter who might be trying to identify with this movement or calling themselves a part of this movement. That is not the core of this movement.
Have you seen a rise in anti-Semitism at Barnard and at Columbia?
I've seen a rise in hatred towards all kinds of students, including Muslim students, including Black students.
Okay.
And so I think this is a problem, yes. And I think that it is imperative that the university both create a space for dialogue and conversation about that and to ensure that those instances are dealt with properly.
Well, that's what the president of Columbia University, Maroush Shafiq, says she was trying to do. She says she wants the uni to be a safe and welcoming environment for everyone. But when she called police to campus and asked them to arrest students and break up the camp, some students were zip-tied, they were carted off to jail. You know, what's your view on how this has been handled on your campus? And now we've seen police being called into other campuses. How else should it be managed?
I think we need to create a space for dialogue. I think we need to create a reporting system. I think we need to hold students accountable. Calling the New York Police Department onto campus to arrest peaceful students on a campus is not the solution to the problem of anti-Semitism or anti-Arab racism or Islamophobia.
But is allowing protesters to set up camps in the uni quadrangle or wherever they are on the lawns, is that sustainable, just to allow that to happen too? If some feel, say they're feeling... Sorry, you go.
I think peaceful protest is a central part of a college education, and it's a central part of what it means to be a citizen and to have rights. It is a part of democratic expression. Everybody should have the right to protest and the right to free expression.
So, Pramila, now the Columbian president is being criticized from the left and the right. The students critical because they say she caved in to political pressure from the conservative Republican members when she faced a congressional hearing last week. And then some of those same Republican politicians are criticizing her for not taking strong enough action to shut down these protest camps. The pressure was ramped up this week. The Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Young, no less, visited Columbia campus and called for her to resign. How is the university president to please anyone here?
Her job is not to please anyone. Her job is not to please members of Congress or anyone outside of this campus. Her job is to lead the university. And the way to lead the university is to protect academic freedom, is to protect the right to free expression, and to create a climate of culture and dialogue.
Some say these calls for university chiefs to be sacked are conservatives weaponizing the protests in a bid to damage liberal campuses. Others see it as a logical step given the mayhem on campus. What do you think? Is there a which element of this is weaponizing these protests in your view?
Well, I'm not going to speak to the intentions of people who are on the outside of this campus right now, who are attempting to leverage some of the conflict that's happening on the campus or attempting to influence policies on this campus. It is not for politicians in Washington. It is not for any lobbying group. It is not for any activist group outside this campus to make policy, to make decisions about who is hired or who is fired, who the leadership of this university is, what faculty members ought to be teaching. That is we have a structure in place, a governance structure. We have a structure in place to determine how people get hired, how tenure is evaluated, how mm-hmm. students are admitted. And so, and student governance and faculty governance. And so those are the policies that any leadership of this university needs to abide by.
Primula Nadison, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Primula Nadison is history professor at Barnard College at Columbia University in New York.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.